हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
okay. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu chapter 34. Then, continuing from verse 25133. Yeah? Okay. That which the wise person who has dedicated his intelligence only to the Lord experiences in the heart, which realizes Vibhava and other elements as separate entities, through deep impressions of previous bhakti, is called bhava. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. First, a person attains bhava by vibhava and other elements manifesting. Then the sarupa of bhava appears, right? Because bhava means ecstasy. So it's going to appear because there's going to be the aspect of your particular rati, right? Because without rati, you can't have bhava. So that's why the sahajis are so bogus, because they don't actually have that rati, that exclusive attachment to Krishna. And so, because that attachment is missing in that particular rasa, then the vibhava aspects don't mean anything. You know, it's just like when you see a child. Okay, then maybe if you like children, you'll feel, you know, some, oh, hey, okay, they're cute, or this or that. But it won't give the same feeling as your own child. Seeing your own child, then you're going to have particular feelings because of the rati. With the other person, it's a generic kids. But with your own, then it's very specific. Does that make sense? So because of that, so that's why the vibhava is the first to appear. Because then you have that attraction. Then it has meaning that Krishna like this and that and all the different things of that attraction then mature. Like so mother, you know, in the parental rasa, then there'll be certain things that attract the, you know, the parent. In the conjugal, it'll be different. In the friends, it'll be different. But the point is there has to be that rati for Krishna. Then the sarupa bhava, then you'll see the whole thing will come. So then from that will become the anubhavas and then the sanchari bhavas. And then, you know, the sattvika bhavas, all these things will be together. And then that will be situated from the stai bhava. So the point is without the rati, you don't actually have stai bhava. Because stai means it's fixed. So unless there's an attraction, how can you be fixed in it? So they're just showing the mechanics of how it just comes up. Like, you know, it just naturally comes. Because from vibhava, you get anubhava. You know, you get the sattvika bhavas. Then supporting that will be the vyabhichari bhavas. You know, so all these, they come in a natural line. Yes.
So it means rati comes first?
Rati, yes, yes, yes. Because otherwise, means you may have, just like we see in Brahma Samhita, then Prabhupada, you know, reading Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is pointing out that Brahma, he had an understanding of his position as a maidservant of Krishna, but the details weren't there. So you can't call that rati, nor can you call that stai bhava. So when the vibhava manifests, so that rati is there, then the whole thing will just come together. Does that make sense? Because when that attraction to Krishna, that attachment to Krishna is there, that becomes stable. Right? Because let's say, okay, let us say we have those gopis who, it's just, yeah, it's just the label. Looking at the light. Place in Calcutta. Yeah, but somehow or another was, I forget what it was, maybe the 80s or something. This person, he's kind of like a friend of Krishna like that. He was a full-on, you know, card-carrying, flag-waving hippie. Still in the 80s. You know, maybe even later. And he came, you know, it's just straight out of the 60s, this guy. And he came to India and that, and he came to the temple, and he was staying, I think it was at the temple. Somehow or another, at some point, I think in the day or night or something, some thief tried to steal the lamp, the street lamp. Oh. So he climbed up and was... And so he got electrocuted, seriously. And then in the morning, there's a kerfuffle going on there. And, you know, the police are out there, and now they're getting a letter and all that. And the hippie guy comes down and looks at him and goes... And then, you know, they're all saying, oh, yeah, it's, you know, unfortunate, this family. The hippie said, no, no. He died reaching for the light. That's a hippie. Oh, boy. Yes. So, you have those gopis who then, when they have that conjugal attraction to Krishna, but you see is that, so when he plays the flute, then so many go, but some don't get to go. Why? Because they haven't come to Purva Rag. So, can you call it Stai Bhava if mostly it's there, but occasionally it's not? No. Because in this, we're talking absolute, means the Purva Rag means it's completely, totally just about Krishna. The attachment's only for Krishna. And then that deepens, you know, in Apandasa and the serving until that comes to Vastusiddhi. You know, because that's then prema. Because then you can say that's there. But before that, you can say is, because always the middle is considered where you give the position. Right? You know, it's just like if you have nishta, then if you divide it into three, right? Because everything goes by three. So the first section, first part, the first third, will have flavors of anartha nivriti. Though it's stable, but it'll still have some getting rid of anarthas. The middle, you'll say, is stable, and the last third, it has some flavors of rati. I mean, excuse me, ruchi. Right? So then the beginning stages, then we'll have that aspect of ashakti. The middle, then you can say, then that, you can say, that is then bhava. And then above that, the higher, it will start to have the glimmerings of prema. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you're going to see as these go. So you can't say in one sense that it's Stai Bhava, though they are. They have the form, they have the attraction and everything. So in one sense, you'll say, yes, they're Stai Bhava, it's conjugal. But it doesn't become that fixed in it until they get to that Purva Rag. Then you can say, now the Bhava is now solid. Now it's steady. Right? Because you have to become steady. Then that will increase, you know, you start to get a taste as Apandas because you're associating with Krishna in the pastimes directly. And so then in that position, that's where it'll start to take on flavors of prema until it just becomes prema. You know, so there'll be a natural development. So there's always going to be where we call it, just like sadhakas will call it bhakti, but at the same time it's in pursuance of bhakti. Right? So technically, you can say, on one level, pure devotional service starts at bhava. Because then they don't have any material desire. They may not be fully situated in the spiritual desire, but there's no material desire. So then you can say it's pure. But because of the position of Vrindavan, we're going for pure unalloyed. So then the it's coming to that platform. It's even so much more developed. Then let's say someone in Vaikuntha. Someone that just shows up in Vaikuntha, they're set. Right? But here, then it has to be taken forward to that pure unalloyed. Otherwise, when they go back to the spiritual, it's pure. The Braj is pure unalloyed. You know, so it just goes that step further. So does that make sense? So then you having that, yes, you'll call it that they're situated to be bhava and bhava and stai bhava and all these different things, and they'll be experiencing. But at the level of what is its natural form, it hasn't gone to there yet. right? So in the beginning, first the person attains bhava by vibhava, right? Because it's the vibhava is where the entrance, because it's that attract, because it's Krishna is the central feature. That we're stai bhava, it's about Krishna. So stai bhava is just the generic thing, but it's a manifest, you could say, through the attraction to Krishna. In the form of Krishna or playing his flute or how he talks or, you know, whatever is the particular rasa. Is that clear?
Yeah.
This is the order. Two verses describe the difference between rati and rasa by describing their particular nature, right? Because rati means that attraction, but rasa means when the whole thing is blended together. Right? Does that make sense? So it's just like we have ingredients. Let's say we're making a chutney. We have ingredients. But they're ingredients. Once they're blended together, then that's chutney. That's rasa. Because then you get that taste of, you know, it's sour, it's sweet, it's pungent, it's salty. You know, it's all that together. So, yeah. And so, yeah, describe the, between rati and rasa, describing their particular natures. Because we study them all so we know what's going on, but they're tasted all together. But it's like someone, let's say you have someone who can appreciate, you know, good food. And so then they can appreciate the overall flavor, but at the same time they can also identify the salty aspect, the sweet aspect, the pungent aspect, the sour aspect. Does that make sense? Yeah. But they can appreciate the overall. So when that's perfectly balanced, then you'd say that's proper rasa. Otherwise, just say, well, it needs a little more sugar, or it's, a, you know, not enough salt, or too much chili, or not enough chili, or... Does that make sense? Yeah. That which surpasses the stage of distinguishing vibhava, the vyavachari bhavas and other elements, and attains astonishing taste is called rasa. Because at that point, you don't have to distinguish. Not that you can't, but you're not. The taste is you're not distinguishing. Right? You're just tasting it. Just the nice taste and like that. But you can distinguish it if you need to explain it or you are analyzing how to improve it or something like that. But the point is the taste, there's no distinguishing. It's still made of those elements. It's not that they merge and disappear. You know, it's not that the sugar disappears. It's still sugar. Salt is still there. Chilies are still there. All, you know, these things are still there. But it becomes blended in a perfect way. So you have to always understand the personal is the first. The person includes all these other aspects. The person is unlimited. You know, then so we can distinguish all the things, but dealing with the person, you don't have to distinguish. So that's the specialist of Braj. It's just Krishna. You're not distinguishing his godness or his unlimitedness or his basis of everything. No. It's just him, the person. And all these others are elements of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm thinking like an orchestra.
Hmm.
Then actually people who understand music, they enjoy the music itself.
Yes.
But there are so many instruments in there.
Yes, yes.
And the conductor and then the whole thing happening.
Yes.
So we can distinguish, but also the taste is an overall music.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes. And you know, now and again one will come up prominent, you know, the bhava becomes prominent, the anubhava, but it's all tasted together. You know, like sometimes it's the horn, sometimes the violin, sometimes it's the timpani, like that, yeah. Exactly. That's the whole thing, is that all this is together, it's non-different, but at the same time you can tell the difference. So that's why the taste in the Chintaveda-Veda Tattva will be so much more than any of the other approaches, any of the other hermeneutics. Because they're only taking one aspect. But whatever's there in Vishishta-Dvaita, Vishuddha-Dvaita, Dvaita-Dvaita, and Dvaita, even the aspect Advaita, all that, because you already have it in the other. So they're taking it one at a time, and because you're dealing with Krishna, it's perfect in itself. But when you combine them all together, that's the most perfect. You know, so each one of those is there. That's why we don't have a problem with anybody else. Right? like that. So that's the thing. As one advances, one doesn't have this thing. So, yeah. What is the nature of that rasa? It produces more amazement than rati. Bhava or rati is experienced in the heart, which ascertains bhava yaha pade chitte, the vibhavas, vyabhachari bhavas, and other elements. At the time of directly realizing rasa, however, there is no awareness of the vibhavas, vyabhachari bhavas, and other elements as separate entities. So from the platform of bhava, you can distinguish. But the point is, at the platform of rasa, they're not distinguishing. Means, does that make sense? So you can explain it, if it needs to be, but you don't need to explain it. It's just tasting. So that's the thing, is that we're explaining up to here so that, and all these elements, so we understand what, appreciate what's going on, because we're going to distinguish between the taste that's gained here and the taste that's there. Because, as it said, by giving up a lower taste for a high, tasting the higher taste, you give up the lower. So when we have that faith in that higher taste, you know, then we can start to, you know, just a little bit experience. Then you can compare it. Right, so there's the taste of it, but there's also, you can compare. Right, when you're tasting, there's no need to compare. Let's say it's a nice kirtan, and that, you don't need to compare. But now let's say the outside of the kirtan is not there, you can remember the taste of the kirtan, because eternal things lapse, they don't go away. That's the unique thing about them. When it says it's always in the present, means that taste that's there never goes. In the material world, any taste you get goes into the past. And then there's the one you want to gain in the future. Why? Because it's in the past because you're not tasting it now. It's in the future because you're not tasting it now. But the transcendental rasa is always in the present because it's the taste of the taste is never lost. So that pastime, the taste of that particular activity or pastime is never lost. It's unlimitedly, it stays unlimitedly. Eternally, let's say. Eternally. And then all the other things, just that's why it's said to be an ocean of rasa. Right here, someone will say, wow, I had a moment. But the point is the spiritual world, it's an unlimited ocean of all those unlimited moments. And it's just getting bigger. That's why it says it's unlimited. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. While in the material world, even you taste everything there is to taste, it's still limited. There's 8,400,000 species. They have a specific limit on what is the nature of their happiness and all the different combinations that can be there. You know, like, say, the dog. How many different combinations of happiness? So different kinds of dogs, you know, long hair, short hair, over your eye hair, you know, like that. You know, how you say, curly hair, you know, been half shaved and all that, you know, kind of hair. You know, whatever it is, all these different tastes are there, but there's a limited amount for that dog. Even you take all the species and all the permutations you can make, there's a limited amount of taste. So that in the 8,400,000, it's limited. That's why I say it's an ocean, but we know an ocean has shores. But prema is shoreless ocean. It's unlimited. There's no end to it. So whatever taste you have now, that never goes away. It never lessens. So that's the uniqueness. You know, but you can identify, but at the same time there's the taste. At the time of directly realizing rasa, however, there's no awareness of these vibhavas, vyabhachari bhavas, and other elements as separate entities. However, at the time of realizing rati, there's awareness of the vibhavas and other elements as separate entities. So when you take that taste, the attraction, you can see that there's realization of rati. You can see all the different elements and see how they're all working and identifying. But then it goes further into rasa, where it's deeper, where you don't identify. Does that make sense? So it's like understanding everything very nicely, having that proper understanding of it, and then that spontaneous, where it's just the taste of it. So even within the spontaneity, there's spontaneity. Does that make sense? So it's just going on further. So it's the same. There's not, it's not a different, it's not a new principle. You know. So it's a matter, we've heard about these things, we practice them, we become steady in them, then we start to get a taste for them. So the same thing is, we hear about them in the association, we become situated, and then we get a taste. So you see, the same thing is happening in sadhana bhakti is happening within bhava bhakti. Just one's within the conditioned state, one's within the liberated state. And then that brings us to prema. It should be understood that the difference between rasa and rati is the depth of relishing the rasa. Right? So it is, it's not that in rati one's not tasting rasa, but it's because you're analyzing and inspired by, oh, there's this and there's that, and you know, there's so many nice things. But the point is when you're absorbed in it, it's more. You know what I'm saying? If you're going, wow, there's this nice taste and that nice flavor and this thing and all that and how they did this, and it's nice, it's ecstatic. But it's not as much as if you're just tasting that perfect blend of all that together. You understand? So it's just a further depth. So that's why sometimes it mentions rati, and sometimes it's talking about rasa.
So can we say with the example of Brahma is that he was at the stage of developing rati?
I would say in there, from what I understand, is the stage of the Madhyama.
So before that?
Yeah, okay. Before that.
So he had a general idea, because rati is already quite specific.
Yes, rati is specific because you know you have it. See, it's like this, is that someone can... See, generally, you don't have to. The point is that that's the whole point of then the advanced level of Shravana Dasa, Varna Dasa, is that particular, you know, the Braja Bhava, like that, then the specifics within the let's say, the conjugal, because we give an example of the maid servants. Then that comes to the thing where there's that attachment, so then that rati becomes the most, becomes completely, you know, full there. But then there has to be that attachment, because rati is attraction. So it's the difference between attraction and the attachment, and prema is the attachment.
Right.
You know, it's just like there's one sambandha and the other is prayojana.
Mm-hmm.
That means they're connected. You know, it's all connected. It's Krishna's one, but at the same time, there's this distinction. So, the point is that from that platform, even if you have no idea here, it doesn't mean that you don't have your position. So you'll just naturally fit into that when you're there. Does that make sense? So there's no need that you have to study that here. Sometimes people come up with the ideas of, oh, if you don't get into that here, you won't get that there. But the point is it's a matter of, if we're working at, you know, pure unalloyed devotional service, that's the realm, that's the place. That already sits you in Vrindavan. Then by what your natural position is, then you move forward. You understand? But you may see cases where someone within the Madhyama platform actually has an understanding of their relationship. But it's generic. It's just maidservant. And there's that mood of the maidservant. It doesn't have the Ekadasa Bhava in it. That will only come when you're liberated. That makes sense. Yeah. You still can, you can come to the platform of Bhava still within this body. And so then at that time, then it'll be understood. But this artificial, you know, kind of develop that before that, it doesn't work, you know. It's just a show. So that's why we don't bother with it, because it's going to come anyway. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, you know, the small little girl, you know, is like just dressing up, she's getting married and all that, in the attic, she finds all the clothes and does all stuff like that. Now she's talking about having babies and this and that, but the parents will just talk about an attitude. You don't have to get into that. That'll come itself. You don't have to get into that. You just get into the proper attitude. Because if you have the attitude... The form, because we're taking it that that's the main thing. No, it's an attitude. You know, that's the 55th verse of Brahma Samhita. Yes, it's saying it's the attitude, and from that comes the form. It's just like here, the mind has an attitude, then you get the form. Right? It doesn't work separate from that. So the same way is that unless you have the braja attitude, you don't get a braja form. So you have to have the attitude. That's Shravasa Dasa. Right? Then within that, the specific of the Varna Dasa, applying that, then you can say is then you have the smarta dasa. So there's no need to go ahead. You know, it's just like if you're trying, let's say you have the kid and his parents are a nuclear physicist and he wants to be a nuclear physicist and they're teaching him the numbers and all that and how to do addition and all that. Does he need to know what the E is? You know, the Greek E? No. It won't have any difference. He still has to deal with these 2 plus 2 is 4 and all that. Because even if you tell him, he can't use it. You know what I'm saying? Because we're under the pressure that knowledge, then that's the power. Because knowledge is, you know, power. Knowledge is control. There's somebody that's there, you know, you've seen them, they annoy you. But can you control it? The situation? No. But you find out some dirt, now you're in control. Right? So knowledge is control. Because knowledge can be applied as a skill, then can be applied to get a result. So we're taking it by having the knowledge, you know, and it's natural for the living entity because they're Satchitananda. It's natural that they want knowledge, but the point is you have to see the knowledge in context of how that serves Krishna. That's the real thing. Otherwise, the tendency is we think the knowledge itself is, you know, so even someone tells you what your Ekadasa Bhava, what will you do with it? You take the 3-year-old girl and say, yeah, in the future you're going to marry that boy. What can she do with it? Nothing. You know, so that's the whole point. It's not important. It's made important because the sahajiyas, that's all they have to do. And it sounds okay because, you know, we're dealing with the material logic, so it sounds like it's an important thing, but it's not actually. So if there is an idea that, yes, okay, like this, you know, the relationship of a maidservant, you don't know who you are, right? Because that's the whole point. That makes the difference between bona fide, spontaneity or bona fide process and unbona fide is that if you imagine I'm doing this service, I'm doing that service, that's totally bogus. Because who are you? You have a material mentality and then you're in the pastimes doing these services. Who wants you around? You know what I'm saying? Let us say you're having a program at your house and you've called over some nice friends. You know, Shnazale is there or something like that. And suddenly just one of the guys that you've seen in the temple suddenly shows up, you know, comes in, goes in the kitchen, grabs things. Hey, I'll serve and I'll... Are you happy? It's like, who's this guy? You know, you're sitting in the kitchen going, who let this guy in here? What's into it? And then at the table they're going, why is he serving? The kitchen say, you know, he's supposed... So everybody's like, you know. You understand? So that's the whole point, is that no one wants you there. Because Braj is a mentality. And when that mentality is met, then the form has use and application. Because with the form, you can do activities. And the results of those activities then can be offered to Krishna, and then there's taste. But if you don't belong there, then, you know, just because they will, that doesn't mean you want to. So the little kid, you said, he wants to be, you know, like that. He can go and show up, they, everyone like this, but he can't do anything there. You know, everyone will be nice, you know, cute kid coming and he wants to be a nuclear physicist. Great, great, okay, yeah, okay. But then, but the point is when it comes to work, he's not involved. And if he tries to get involved, that'll be considered impertinent. He's badly behaved. Because he would follow those who are. Does that make sense? So this, it's a very fine line. We have no problem if that's there, but we have a problem when people make it into an issue. But otherwise, someone understands that, and that's great, nice. That's by Krishna's grace, the one appreciates that. But still, in the Madhya Plat, you can't do anything with it. It's still just the mentality of that full surrender, that completely. You know, so the acharyas give the mentality of what's going on. That's the most important. And they give services that are there. But those services are then appreciate what the eternal associates are doing, not what you're doing. Because when Vishwanath says, I do this, I do that, or I'd like to do this, that, he is doing those things. Rupa Goswami, he's doing those things. For us, we're not doing those things. You know, we're sitting around the table, eating our Cheerios and reading the back of the box if there's anything interesting there. Is that slightly different.
The difficulty seems to be for those who read Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakur books and then, you know, at the end of Jaiva Dharma and different other things, he mentions two bona fide ways to develop Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. And then he says external and internal, or esoteric and exoteric. Mm-hmm. So he mentions there is that by getting your form right at the beginning of your practice, when you're like spiritual baby or something, and then develop that mood, that's a bona fide way of doing it. Then, as you explained now, what we follow is that we're getting the mantra, we try to develop the mood, and then the form follows. So then I had a conversation with a devotee who actually read those books, and you know, he's a thoughtful guy, and he says it is a bona fide path. You can't deny it.
No, we're not denying it. We're not denying it. But the point is just like this. Let us say you go into the professor's house. He has, and he works with curriculum. Let's say he does the curriculum for, you know, his, you know, whatever it is. You know, he's working with the government on the curriculum for math. And he has nursery school books all the way up through, you know, what they expect you to be, you know, studying at that PhD level. So now all those books are bona fide. But for his 5-year-old kid, which book is for him? Just because it's bona fide doesn't mean it's for you. It means it's false ego to think because it's bona fide, therefore I can use it. Mm. You know, it's just like, you ever seen those guys, they kind of have this kind of funny outfit that look like a sugar squirrel or whatever it is, those guys. You know, it's like a bodysuit that has flaps on the legs and the arms. You ever seen it? So it's like little wings. Ever seen those?
Not in life. I mean,
no, but you see, yeah. And then they jump off a cliff, and then they go sailing down and through the middle of a rock, and this and that and all that. And then finally, at the right time, they pull out their chute and all that kind of thing like that. It's a bona fide thing, but okay, let's take that devotee to say, it's bona fide. We're going on the top of this mountain here. Like that sheer drop for 2,000 feet, we're going to have him in that suit, we're just going to push him off. Is he going to be cool with that? It is a bona fide thing to use that. Go for it. Mm-hmm. But the point is that just because it's bona fide doesn't mean that you're using Bhaktivinoda Thakur. These two books are the essence of all his teachings. So naturally it has to have from the sadhaka on up. But he's not saying it's for the neophyte. They're talking about these things starting when you're fixed in devotional service. Spontaneous devotional service is happening when you are free of anartha nivritti. So now you have two levels of anartha nivritti. You could say the beginning stage and the mature stage. So the beginning stage, that's the madhyama. And so in the madhyama stage means he's free from anarthas, to, you know, a degree where he's able to be fixed in his service and steady and all that. So then that means he can appreciate, because it's a generic steadiness, he can appreciate the generic position. But it's only when you're freed from material contamination, when you're on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, you're actually liberated. Means, you know, realized liberated. That you can say is anartha-nivritti, because there's no material connection. But say what you want, is those gopis, when the flute played, they didn't go to the rasa dance. They're in their ekadasa bhav. And so if they can't go, why do we think, though, I can do it? You know, probably gave the example of the fat horse and the thin horse. All the big, huge, you know, muscly, mature horses come up to the raging river and they try to get it over. They jump in to get across and are washed away. And after they're all washed away, then this thin, skinny horse comes up and is checking, well, how do I get across here? You know, I can do this. Probably made that comment. There's one, you know, big president in America, and there was a problem, I think, on something with the management in India or something like that. I think maybe it was GDC or something like that. And so then, you know, who's going to do that? You know, it was Kamal Krishnamurti who was the GDC. And so then after that, then that president came, well, I can do it. Prabhupada said, thin horse. And this was the famous president. You know, in America, he was like, you know, one of the biggest presidents. So that's the thing, is that, yes, it's bona fide, but it doesn't mean it's for you. You know, just like any skill, it's just like Formula One racing. It's a bona fide thing. Can he do that? No. He could, we mean association and training and all that, he could eventually get to that stage. You know, but he can't claim just because it's bona fide, then it's for you. Is the wall cold? No. Hey, Susan?
I'm good.
Turn it off, open the door. No, that's
okay. I have it at home.
If we go home and enjoy that.
Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is the thing, it's bona fide, it's for me. No. And just because you can read it doesn't mean it's for you. That's the acharyas. I'm making it very clear. Because one, by seeing that, you get inspired that, yes, the goal, I want this goal. I want this goal, therefore, thinking, feeling, willing. I think about it, I feel, I want it, so therefore I will. I want to do it, and so therefore I apply myself. But you have to apply yourself where you are. So when he says at the beginning, see, we take it the beginning means when I walk in the door. But Prabhupada says, the madhyama, or nishta, that's the beginning of advanced devotional service. So the problem is where this beginning is. So the beginning of pure devotee is starting with madhyama. So the difference between a kanista and a madhyama is very big. The difference between a madhyama and an uttama is not so big. You know, we put it the other way.
Yeah.
But it's actually there.
Right.
You know, so that, because it's a change in the mentality, it's a change in you've gone from the ascending to the descending process, the inductive to the deductive. That's the major thing, is that devotional service is the all in all, and it includes everything, and it's perfect in itself. So you don't require anything else. The neophyte tends to think, no, I need this, I need that, all these are important. That makes bhakti. But the others, no, bhakti includes these things. You know, you're already doing your things, all everything. Arjuna's doing his duties to please Krishna. See, in the beginning of Krishna Gita, it's inductive. Because it's like, I'm a kshatriya, I have these duties as family, we're going to fight, and then we're going to enjoy after that. But then we're not going to enjoy because everyone I want to enjoy was dead. You know, so he's looking at there, and then he sees, okay, there's the spiritual law. But at the end of the Gita, he says, whatever you say, that's, you know, I will function. So he does the same activities. That's also a mistake, is that we think that the activities change. All it is you're changing the mentality. Does that make sense? You know, offering the artik here and offering the artik in the spiritual world, it's not that it's different. It's not that here we do it seven circles, there they do it backwards, or they do it in squares, you know, like that. Well, the advanced is a square. And then someone else goes, ah, he's cheating, it's actually a rhombus. You know, and you can tell by the degrees of the rhombus how advanced they are. It's like, you know. So that's the whole thing, is that we're thinking it's the activity change, but it's not. It's the mentality change. Let's say you take someone who is coming from a proper Brahmin family, and they're practicing their Brahminical activities. When they take up devotional service, as far as mechanics go, is there going to be actually much change in their activity? No, technically, no. There may be a change in the deity, the scripture, the mantra, but otherwise there's no change. They're still going to get up in the Brahma Muhurta, they're still going to take their bath, they're still going to put on their tilak, they're still going to do their puja and the japa and all these different things. It won't change, but the mentality changed from being, you know, either an impersonalist or a shakta or worshiping demigods into worshiping Krishna. So we see it's all that changed there. Our background, because we're coming from a sinful background, so basically most everything has to change. You know, as that you know, famous situation where, I can't remember, was I think in England, one of the lords was asking the devotee, you know, so what is this Krishna? What do you have to do? And he mentioned the four good principles, and he goes, that's our life. That's all we do. You know, it's like, you know, there's like, you know, if you get rid of that, then what's there? You know, so that's the difficulties, because we're having to make that change, that we think that the spontaneous is another external change. But as he pointed out, the external and the internal. So the external is there because we don't have any internal. But by practicing the internal and get purified, then the internal starts to manifest. Like Krishna says in the Gita. You can say, oh, Bhaktivinoda Kaur says, right in the Gita, Krishna already says. In that verse where Krishna says, the best is just surrender to me immediately and take up devotional service. If you can't do that, then you follow sadhana bhakti. If you can't do that, then, you know, naishkarmi, if you can't do that, sakam, if you can't do that, just be a nice guy. So it's already mentioned right there. We've already heard the stories of, you know, Muchakunda, you know, surrendering the second, the gopis, or the wives of the Brahmins. So that's what's recommended. So that's the whole point. Yeah, go for it. If you can do that, then why do anything else? But if you can't do that, then you have to take up sadhana bhakti. And then within that sadhana bhakti, if you find you can just be absorbed in all that, and just absorb it, then that's nice. But if not, then you have to do the naishkarmi. You think it's my activity? I'll give it to Krishna. You know, then sakam is mine, and then I'll give it to Krishna. You just pick where it works for you. You know, but those first four you can say are devotional, and then the last two are pious, because pious people tend to surrender. So we have to be able to make those distinctions. Because they're making distinction, oh, hey, I can do that. But the point is, here's what we have to understand, is that it's a mentality. Because the difference between rati and rasa is a mentality. It's the depth of maturity of taste. It's not that there's something different in the external form. So that's the thing. So the gopi that's coming up and the eternal associate, the difference is the mentality. It's not going to be in the activity. So, yeah. So in other words, they're talking about a reality of what's there and how you can be involved. But you have self-realization means, where do you fit? So if you just go, oh, it's bona fide, I'm going to go for that, that's not self-realization. Because who are you? Okay, the process is bona fide. Where do you fit? And you have to understand what it means. You know, because so many times, especially when they deal with teachings of the acharyas before Srila Prabhupada, there's so many times mistakes made. And the first mistake they're making is Rupa Goswami says you approach the previous acharyas through your acharya. So how Prabhupada's given it, that's the way. Then you understand what they're saying in that context. Because that's the meaning of founder acharya. Founder acharya, he shows how do you take all the teachings of all the acharyas and apply that into your situation now. That's the founder acharya. That's the special. Like Ramanujacharya to all the alwars, and then showed how you apply them. So,
yeah.
So it's very important. Is that they can say, oh, we're doing this, but Rupa Goswami makes this point. So if you're not following that point, then how would you understand Bhaktivinoda Kaur? You're saying, oh, well, we have this Bhaktivinoda Kaur is before us, but before that is Rupa Goswami. He said this is how it's done. So we have to be very, very careful there to see that we're functioning in that way. Otherwise, then all these different funny things come up, and it'll just be mental speculation how they'll apply it and all that, because it's about me becoming happy. So what makes me happy all and mix that with what I interpret in devotional service, and I'll come up with my own apasampradaya, you know, what's there. You know, it's just like the Bengali sahajis, you know, the goat is there. Then, you know, on the stage they'll sing and this and get together and hug and then fall on the ground and then roll on the ground and everything like that. But when you fall, you have to fall in such a way that nobody gets hurt. So it's more kind of you just crumple onto the ground, but everybody knows it's falling on the ground. But, you know, and then you roll around and stuff like that. But now, let us say you take Europeans and they're sahajis. Are they going to do that? No, because Europeans don't get that close to each other. Yeah. You know, it's European spacing, not Asian spacing. So they'll have to have their own values and how they apply the sahajya. Someone has to be very, very careful. Yes, it's bona fide, but your interpretation of this, because we're taking it from the English. English, the words don't really mean anything. Prabhupada points out Sanskrit, every word has a meaning. Every word can be defined and exactly how it works. And so the point is beginning, when does devotional service begin? Right? Because technically, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out, bhakti begins at prema. Before that, it's only practice. So we're taking that I'm doing bhakti. No, we're doing practice. So just from that definition, then we would take the humble attitude and just follow what our acharyas give us. You know, if we want to get a little bit more detailed, then where do you apply it? Because the point is anishta bhakti, how can you call that bhakti? It's anishta. So it's only when it's nishta bhakti, then you could say that's the beginning stage. That's what Prabhupada says, is the beginning of advanced devotional service. So in one sense, you can say, is it starts to begin there, as Rupa Goswami says, after anartha nivritti. But it's generic. So if you're going to get into the ekadasana, you can't do anything with it. What are you going to do with it? You're going to sit around and think, I'm wearing this? You're not wearing this. You're in your gross body. Because the point is, you have to be able to function in your spiritual body to use it. So that's why it's a generic understanding, like Bhakti Brahma, like Lord Brahma. He had that understanding, but he didn't know the intricacies. Now, if Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying that about Lord Brahma, then how is it, you know, Jose from, Philadelphia is going to be, you know, more advanced? You know, saying so. That's the point of self-realization. You have to know who you are, where you are, where do you match. So the point is for someone to be able to work with this stuff. Where Shraddha Prema, where are they? And it should be able, you can say, is within that, be able to divide each one into three to be able to say where you are within them. You know, and that's for the devotional. That same mentality could also say within the external, with the conditioned form, what's your conditioning? What varna are you? What rasa, where do you fit? So you know what activities to engage in Krishna service. Right? Let's say, oh, we're not this body. Yes, you're not the body, but the body, can you tell what the body is? You know, like you go into the kitchen, I'm not these fruits and vegetables. So but can you distinguish which they are? Why I should distinguish? You know, that's being, you know, distinguishing is lower class or stuff like that. We don't distinguish. We see all vegetables equal. Says, okay, well, we're going to make a potato sabji like that. So I'm going to give you this lao here, and you're going to make this potato sabji. We're going to do a baked potato. You know, Hasselback potatoes we're going to do. So you're going to take your lao, you're going to just cut it, you know, every 2 centimeters, you're going to cut it all the way down, leave a little bit at the bottom, then we're going to put it in the oven, then we're going to bake it. So we're going to get a Hasselback potato? No. You're just going to get a mess because we're being equal and not distinguishing and all that. So do you distinguish between the door and the wall? Or why are you making distinguish? It's all equal. It's all the same energy of the Lord. So it's just impersonalism. Right? But is being touted as spiritual. So that's the neophyte position, is they tout something spiritual, material is spiritual. That's prakriti. That's why it's prakriti sahajya, prakriti bhakta. So the sahajya is off track, the prakriti bhakta is on track. It's just if he follows, with time, his anishta bhakti will become nishta. Then you can say it begins. But it's not until you're on the platform of bhava that you can actually work with the body. As we said, the first thing is the attitude of the brajavasis. That's the first attitude. That's Shravana Dasa. You know, I'm servant of Krishna, so you have to get up to the I'm servant of Krishna in the mood of the residents of the Dhamma. Right? Varma Dasa, what I do, I take my conditioned nature here, I engage in Krishna service, I have my original nature. Well, how is that working? The Smarta Dasa, now engaging that in the association of the eternal associates, now I come to full absorption in Krishna Samadhi. Right? So it's very clear. People are always looking for this very quick kind of solution, you know, like that, and trying to say, see, it's bona fide. Of course it's bona fide, but that doesn't mean you can use it. That's the difficulty. You know, you can't use it. So that's the important thing, is to know who you are. Know your body, your mind, your intelligence, your consciousness. You know what you can do for Krishna, where you fit. And then it works very nicely. So then it's inspiring to know that, yes, this is where we're going. This is the direction. This taste, this understanding, that's something important. Right? Because otherwise on the material platform it keeps changing. You know, what today has taste, tomorrow doesn't. You know, oh, you're still doing that? Oh, that's so last week. Okay. 2:5:134. May the eternal person who manifested the beautiful form of a cowherd boy and distributed his bhavas to the form of Rama as well be pleased with the southern section of the nectar, ocean of nectar. Srila Jiva Goswami. May Sanatana Goswami, nourisher of the glory of Gopal Bhakta Goswami and Rupa Goswami, and distributor of the prema of Raghunath Das Goswami, be pleased with the southern section of the ocean of nectar. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta summary study of the second division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the matter of general devotional service. Right? Because now we're talking all these technical things. This is general. Right? And so that's the thing, is they're thinking, it's here, but he's giving general instruction, because like you said, beginning a devotional service. But you could say as devotional service, you could say actually basically begins when it's nishta. Right? Or you could actually say it's when you get to the liberated platform. Then it begins. You know, you could say it's okay, it begins at Shraddha. Yeah. But you could also say is that it begins with Agyata Sukriti. Because if there's no Agyata Sukriti, you don't move forward. You're just doing material activity. You bump into a devotee, they engage you. So you could say it began there. So does that mean that guy who walked by him with the briefcase and saw the Ratha Yatra and got that Agyata Sukriti, now we're going to go tell him the Ekadasa Bhava? Because he began his devotional service. So that's the whole thing, is we have to go by what the acharyas say. We can't make our own interpretation. So here you see is that he's appreciating the spiritual master, and the eternal person who manifested the beautiful person of the cowherd boy and distributed his bhavas to the form of Rama as well be pleased with the southern section. So he's meaning may Sanatana Goswami, because Sanatana Goswami is that eternal person, right? Sanatana, eternal. May that so very very. You know, poetic, plain, where's that? Who manifested, in other words, he's manifested our appreciation of Krishna. And here they talk about him as a cowherd boy. So they don't have any problem talking about him as a cowherd boy. Sometimes they said, if you mention him as a cowherd boy, oh, it's not conjugal rasa. Like that. So, you know, so you get all these funny interpretations. End of the last fifth wave of the southern section called Stai Bhava. Okay. Then, let's say, okay, then next, okay, overview of rasa tattva. So, okay, so then here we have, okay, chapters 26 and 28 of Jiva Dharma. So, make it just what you were talking about.
Yeah.
And also, you have to understand, it means who translated it and everything. You know, if they're reading Bhanumars, it's more exact. Reading Sarvabhavana, it'll be more poetic, sometimes not as exact. And, you know, as someone who's dealing from Bengali to Bengali, you know, like that, who is Bengali, it has a particular cultural meaning to them, so when they say it, the English words don't match. You know, so that's why that following that footsteps, how Prabhupada translated, that's the thing, that's why we'll look at. Means whatever is in Jiva Dharma will already be explained in Nectar Devotion, because they're following Rupa Goswami. It can't be it. So you have to see the context of what's presented here. Mm-hmm. So, Vibhava. Okay, so this is just the chapters. Goswami. So it means this is a discussion between the Goswami and Vrajana. Bhava Bhakti and Krishna Rati flourish in the heart of the devotee because of his involvement in bhakti in his present or previous lifetimes. They embody spiritual bliss, which at a mature stage transforms into Krishna Bhakti Ras. Right? So you have this aspect is that you're doing, but it has to transform in maturity. That's always a thing. So we have to see is, where do we fit? Are we mature? So we have to be very careful. Because otherwise, just because you can read it doesn't mean you can do it. Like that. But it's there to read so that you have inspiration what to go for. You know, it's like the father is a doctor and he's doing all these nice things. He's a neural brain surgeon and the kid wants to grow up to be a doctor. And so it's an inspiration, it's a goal, but it doesn't mean he uses it now. He's developing the mentality, he's getting into his studies, he's developing the proper attitudes, he's proper, you know, regulation and all that. So, yeah.
So what's the maturity for us? It would mean the maturity before we start the whole thing?
Well, it says at a mature stage means it's always maturing. It means when you have, in other words, Shraddha is a maturation of Agyata Sukrita. Mm-hmm. Right? When you actually have faith that Krishna, the person, is, you know, the Supreme Person, he is all in all. Because before that, you may have appreciated. You know, like you have sometimes those nice personalities who come around the temple, and they've been coming around the temple the last 20 years. They're not initiated, this, that. They always come, they give some money, they take part, they take prasad. You see them for some few days or some weeks, and then you don't see them for a long time, then they come back again. And then they're nice guys, but the point is they're just an agyata sukriti. So there's not enough agyata sukriti that it matures into. So at each stage, so they're saying here, they embody spiritual bliss. So that means bhava, and that then matures into bhakti. So bhava matures into Krishna Rati. And that into I mean, bhava bhakti and Krishna flourish, because then it goes into Krishna Bhakti Rasa. Like that. So in other words, like we said before, is that Rati then will mature into Rasa. So there's always, every time you move forward, that you appreciate the association of Vaishnavas, that's a maturation of Shraddha. Then, Bhajana Kriya, you want to do the activities of the devotees. You want to follow, that's a maturation of Sadhu Sangha. Then you take that seriously, that you try to, any obstacles to performing your devotional practices, then you do that, and that's a maturation. Then when it gets to Nishta, then that means it's matured even more. So it's always, so, prema is the mature stage of Shraddha. You know, so it's always going on. So we just have to see is where we are. So every stage is a maturation from the previous one, but it still has more to go. You know, it's like steps. You know, so it's like we're at the bottom, we know the door is up there, but we have to step on the first step. But just because I say I know the door and all this and that, and I can talk about the door and everything, and I'm down on this step, then what does that mean? We have to be able to take that step and move. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that. You take the step. In other words, my foot's on the ground, and then I put my foot on the step. Right? So it's in both places. But as soon as I'm solid on the first step, I have to give up the ground. Right? Otherwise, if I keep on the ground, I can't keep going. I can't keep put my foot forward, forward, forward. So that's the problem with the sahajis. Is their foot solid on the ground, and then they try to, you know, move forward and like this. So, you know, unless they're really good at, you know, how you say those ballet things where they put their foot straight up or something, then, you know, but even then, how far up can you get up the stairs?
That's what Lama did.
Yes. But yeah. He's God. He can do that. We're not. Our foot goes out, that's it. Samagri Bhava is divided into four groups. So Samagri means the ingredients. Right? Before he mentioned the ingredients, and then there's the combined taste is the rasa. So Vibhava, that's what causes the appearance of Krishna Rati. Anubhava, subsequent ecstasy. Sattvika Bhava, constitutional ecstasy. And Vyavachari Bhava, aggressive ecstasy. Basic, also known as Samchari Bhava, continuously existing ecstatic symptoms. So aggressive Vyavachari means it has the aggressive because you have some Bhava there and it comes into it. It collides with it. You know, one emotion collides with another. And that act of colliding with something, that's the Vyavachari, the aggressive. Or that the Sanchari, then it continuously exists. Now, it transforms that collision into something new. You know, so that's why sometimes it's the same thing, just whether which aspect you're bringing out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think previously we mentioned that one is in harmony with the Sthayi Bhava, and one is not. It's opposing the Sthayi Bhava. That's why those two.
Yes, because it has to harmonize. Yes. When it crashes, it's not harmonizing.
Right.
So that's why it's aggressive. But then the two harmonize.
Mm-hmm.
So once it harmonizes, now it's a sanctuary. But before, when it just enters in, it's not. It's just like you're making something. You have something in the bowl. You toss something else in. It's not harmonized. You have to then work it, and then it harmonizes.
Mm.
You know, does that make sense? It's like that. That's why everything in the universe works according to these original natures, because it's all Krishna. Right? And so then, how Satchitananda is three different things at the same time harmonized as one thing. Mm. You know, so that's why then the Samagri Bhava means. A Samagri Bhava means I'm seeing the difference. And then there's Krishna Bhakti Rasa where I'm not seeing the difference. So that's what Rupa Goswami is mentioning. So for study, we look at this. And sometimes they see in the pastime, they'll bring out, oh, this is coming up, so this is happening and that. And, you know, they use it within the taste. You know, just like they use these external activities or the formal activities of the chit Chit and Jnana Shaktis, you know, or the Samvat and Sandini, in Haladini Shakti, in Haladini. You know, they're talking about this and that and so many things, and, you know, talking about how Krishna is, you know, he said, you know, you as Rama, then you're dealing improperly with Suparnika, you know, she had desire and you turn her away, so you don't know how to deal with girls. So that's coming from Jnana Shakti, that they know these things. And they're applying it in the technique of how they're saying it and all that, just, you know, in an argument. But it's only to bring out rasa, ananda. Does that make sense? So everything is the support of that. So that's the thing, is that it switches. Then it's Krishna Bhakti rasa. So there's the taste is there, but not that you can't distinguish. But what we can distinguish, we don't have the taste. It means that we're dealing with these knowledge of bhava. It's going to give a taste. But it's not the taste that we would say that we're on the level of bhava. And even if someone is on the level of bhava, and that taste is there, it's an ecstasy. You know, it's continuous. But it's not going to have the intensity and maturity as prema. So therefore you can make the distinction. So for us, it's not that, oh, it's so far away. If we're dealing with the descending process, then it's not so far away. It's just a matter of this is the process, and then where we fit into here. Because Krishna's on, it means it's all Krishna. We're sitting here, but, you know, we're sitting on the floor. It's still Krishna. We're being held up by Krishna. not someone else. And so remember that. It's the person who's holding us up. Krishna, he's provided a floor for us to sit on. So he's right there. You know, he's so near but so far away. That's the Upanishad. So it's just a matter of, if we emphasize, you know, the far away, then we'll feel far away. If we emphasize the near, we'll get there. But it's not a sentiment. It's an understanding. But that understanding gives rise to that realization and that experience. So therefore, the practiced knowledge becomes realization. So it's not a problem that it's knowledge, because some will say, oh, it's knowledge, and then throw it out. Or some will say, oh, it's about the knowledge makes it happen. No. They're all aspects. They're all supportive. Yeah. Yes?
So without knowing all the ingredients of rasa, as we study, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, can we actually taste rasa just like that, without knowing what are the ingredients? Is it possible?
It's just like, can you appreciate sugar without knowing what it is? Can you give a spoon of sugar to a kid? Can they appreciate the taste? But they don't know what sugar is.
Right.
Yeah. So
it is possible.
It is. But the point is that we're talking about... See, we're thinking the taste, but the point is prema means it's consistent. It doesn't go anywhere else. Well, us, we'll have the taste, and then it'll go somewhere else.
Mm.
You know? It's like the person is saying, no, but here Bhaktivinoda Thakura says it's bona fide. And then the next minute they're talking about their car. You know, so what happened to that bhakti rasa that was? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that as one advances, one doesn't lose these things. That's the meaning. When it goes forth, there's a taste, it's there. You know, then there's attachment is there. Then ecstasy is there. Then that love is there. So it's just a matter of going deeper and deeper and deeper. So in other words, if there's no attitude, then you appreciate that it's all bhakti. If there's attitude, then you show the difference. You know, so that's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Because, you know, you have, if you have the proper, don't have the proper attitude, then he's saying bhakti starts at prema. But Baladev Vibhushan is saying that, you know, in pursuit of, it's as good as. And, you know, so all the Shastras say that. So it's just a matter of the attitude. So that's all. If someone's doing something and they're new at it and they're trying, you encourage them. But if they're doing it, they're new at it, and they think that they're you know, the cat's meow, then you're going to make a comment. Because the attitude is not important. Bad attitude is not important for the performance of the activity. Good attitude is. So that's why you'll see is that it can switch so to these two. Because if you're using the ascending, then it's pointing out it's far away. But if you're situated in the descending, then you're showing it's so close. It's just a matter of the attitude. So that makes sense. Mm. So yes, these things are all there, but you have to know who you are and where you are. Because if you don't know where you are, then how are you going to fit into the pastimes? You know, it means like Lalita Devi and Vishakha, they're bathing Radharani. And just because you know about it, now you're just going to butt in? You understand? You know, like that. And then you can say, no, but I could get close. But there's Rupa and Rati are there. Okay, but then I get, you know, but then there's the other acharyas. Yeah, but then, you know, then there's Shivapapa. But then there's your move. Okay, I'm here. Then you know where you fit. They may engage you doing something. But the point is the attitude is, even though you physically may be right there, but your attitude is you're a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. But if your attitude is, no, I'm right here, no one wants you there. But if you're a servant of servant, then they'll let you do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's a difference. It's a difference in the flavor. You know, it's just like the kid says, oh, I can do this. Okay, do it. And if they said, you know, can I have this and that, then you'll show them how to do it.
Yeah.
That's the difference. So that's the thing. So, you know, are the eternal associates going to say, okay, go for it? Or are they going to be engaging? But they're only going to engage someone who sees themselves as the servant of the servant of the servant. That's all. Not otherwise. So that's why the attitude is the whole thing. Because you're talking about these things, the bhavas and all, these are all moods. You know, like that. Vibhava, which is also known as Krishna Prema, is of two divisions. Alambana, basic cause, and Udipana, awakening stimuli. So you see, as they all go into, because it's Krishna Prema, because Vibhava means your love for Krishna. It's also known as that. It can also be known as Rati. Can be known as prema. So it's just a matter of the maturation of the. You know, do you see it on its own, or do you see it in the whole picture? And the whole picture means not intellectually; it means its taste. So, because they're saying no, but it's bona fide. It's not. But the point is if it's bona fide and you understand it and can use it, you don't talk about it. You're just doing. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's it. Okay. Alambana is the basic cause that gives rise to Rati, divine love, and is divided into two parts, Vishaya, the beloved, and Ashraya, the lover. The beloved object is Vishaya. And the one who embraces love is the Ashraya. Right? So the object of that love is Krishna, is the Vishaya, and who is accepting that love, that's the Ashraya. So the point comes here is that you're the Ashraya. Okay, now what do you do? Oh, I can do, you know, we can do this. Okay, Krishna walks in the door right now. Now what will you do for Krishna? So that's the whole thing. We don't know what to do. You know, even if we say, oh, we could do this and that, we've heard that because that's what the associates do. So that's the whole point, is know where you are, and then you can progress. But if you think you're more advanced than you are, then you'll come up short. If you're, you know, just trying to get it together to step on the first step, and you say you're already on the 19th step, ready to step into the door on the 20th, then you'll be surprised. When you make that first step, there's another 19 to go. But, so that's why you just know where you are. Yes, it's all there. But know where it is. Thus, one who possesses Rati is Ashraya. And one who is the aim of that love is Vishaya. The heart of the Krishna devotee embraces Rati. Hence the devotee is the Ashraya. And Krishna is the object of the devotee's love, so he is the Vishaya. So, Vrajana. As you have said, Vibhava is divided into two halves. Alambana, the basic cause of transcendental love, and Udipana, items related to Krishna that stimulate the transcendental love, right? So alambana is that basis. It's a generic thing. So the udipan is the specific items related to Krishna that then inspire the manifestation of that love. Alambana is again divided into two: Vishaya, the object of love, and Ashraya, the receptacle of love. So it's very nice how he says it in one way, which is very straight. Then he'll say it again, bringing out other angles that makes it more accessible to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have mentioned that Krishna is the Vishaya and the devotee is the Ashraya. Now a question arises. Is it possible that Krishna may also be the Ashraya of transcendental love? Goswami, certainly, as we have mentioned previously, when the devotee loves Krishna, Krishna is the Vishaya, and the devotee is the Ashraya. However, when Krishna loves the devotee, Krishna is the Ashraya, and the devotee is the Vishaya. Right? So that's why Krishna is the supreme subject, and Radharani is the supreme object. Because, yes, the subject is Krishna, everything's about Krishna, but his attention's on Radharani. You know, he is the Ashraya of everything. Right? But his attention's on Radharani. So you have you know, both aspects are correct. Krishna's the Ashraya. I mean, Krishna is the subject. He's also he's the object, but he's also the subject. Because the subject performs the activity. So then you have the masculine and feminine, so he's the masculine, he makes those activities. So the gopis make endeavor to put themselves into positions in which Krishna can do something. Does that make sense? Like, they put themselves at the Surya temple. So now Krishna can come and perform his activities of running the pastime. You know, or they're going to cross the Banasi Ganga with their wares for the market, so then Krishna can play the boatman. Or they're picking flowers, you know, because Vrindavan's very big. So if Krishna's in, you know, wherever it is, Bahubhulavan, and they're over in Kamyavan picking flowers, then is there going to be a pastime happening? So they have to be picking flowers. And they want to know where Krishna is. Krishna wants to know where they are. And so then they're going to situate themselves doing, and they're going to be picking flowers there. Then Krishna can come and say, what are you picking my flowers for? What's the point if they're not? So the girl puts herself in a situation which the man can then interact. You know, the onus is on him because he either gets it right or not. They're just a situation. Right? You're working in the kitchen. Are the pots and pans ever raw? No. It's the cook. Make sense? So that's the principle. So if you ever wondered why it always is, we're not pointing out really where the women are going wrong in the interaction, it's the men. That's the point. If you want to say, oh, well, what about them? So if you want them in the masculine position, hey. You know, and choose your position. You know. Being in control means you're wrong. Not being in control means you're never wrong. That's the way it goes. So you could say as a gopi, if they make an endeavor, so in that way then they're taking that position. You know, that's the subject. But that's only till they get to the point where then Krishna will act. Then they become the object, and then Krishna's the subject. You know, if we're talking about relationship, and that's the one thing. If we're talking about action, that's the other. So they can reverse, because they can always see everything reverses. Because when you're dealing with the masculine and feminine, whatever one position is there, when you go to the next position, it's reversed. You know, it's like the interaction is all about the girl, but she's not in control. You know, we want it, I'm in control, and it's about me. But that's not a relationship. You're either in control, or it's about you. You know, so it's just the way it works. So that's the rasa is just, therefore both are going on, but we're studying it so we understand where it is, and everything's directed at Krishna. So even if they're performing their activities where they may be taking an active principle, but it's still about Krishna. Still, it's about Krishna, is still the Vishaya and they're the Ashraya. Though in practical application, it may be subject and object. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the thing, you know, we want it all just in nice little boxes, but that's how the impersonal works. Impersonal you can put into all the boxes. The generic you can put into the boxes. But the personal, it's all together at once. You know, it's like you could say, this is a person's head, this is their arms, this is their legs. But when you interact with them, can you only interact with their, you know, small right finger?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So personal means it's all there at once. And then the other two aspects, the, you know, Brahman and Parama, you're identifying them. So the sandini. So some sandini is all the knowledge of how this works. That you mechanically you apply it. That's the sandhit. But the whole point is the taste, the rasa, the bhavi. So that's the name. So sandhit and sandini are subservient to bhavi, just like jnana and kriya are subservient to ichcha. And Brahman and Paramatma are features of Bhagavan. So, Bhagavan is not a feature of Brahman or Paramatma.
This is very difficult to understand because it seems that there's relativity within absolute. Because if he's an absolute, he's got to be this or that. But now we see he's this and that.
Yeah.
Because he's got different features.
Because that's transcendental reality. Well, here, things are relative to each other. But still, they're relative, but it's still Krishna's potencies. You know, one potency has a relationship with another, so they do different things. Radharani is a potency. Lalita is an aspect of us. There's a particular relationship. So all the mechanics have their function. They're all related to Krishna. He's the source of everything. So that's the whole thing, is switching to this, you know, this fully, you know, an appreciation that it's the person is the origin. You know, because here we're taking it, no, but it's, here's a bona fide thing, I can do this, but you're talking about it's a branch of knowledge or it's a mechanical thing. It's either knowledge of or a mechanical application. What about the taste of it? You're talking about rasa tattva, it's about a taste. They're just pointing out the different ingredients in it. Just like, let's say, you have two people who, you know, really can appreciate food. The taste is there, but they can also talk about the taste. You know, oh, it's on this, and like so. It appears that, you know, they sautéed this like this, and like that, and added a touch of this. And that. I think, no, before, they didn't just put it in, but they steamed it before they put it into the pan. Oh, yeah, you know, they can go in. And it just makes more taste. So that's the thing, but you have to have taste, then it has meaning. But this thing is that, no, I do this mechanics, I get this. That's jhani. You know? And he doesn't even make it into the upasampadayas, you know. It falls short. So that's the thing, is we have to understand, is that we have to be very, very careful that we're not. You know, that's the whole point of Anartha Nivriti. That we're, enough that we're stable, but to get rid of the mentality means our activities and all that are there, but it can't be that mentality is necessarily completely purified. So nishta means your external form in that, and your basic is steady, but the finer points of the mentality aren't. That you're going to have Anartha Nivriti when you come to Bhava. But even that is still has to go from Bhava, has to mature into prema.
On nishta, there's because discussing with different devotees, stage of nishta, some say something based on the scripture, and some say opposite, also based on the scripture. But then recently, I realized that, nishta, not realized, but I just read it in one of the commentaries, then there's a nishta means stability in performance of your devotional service, and then there's nishta as a development of all the qualities of the Vaishnava. It's also called nishta.
Yes.
So then when we discuss many times, we talk about two different things. One is interpreting as you develop all the qualities, which is obviously very high level, like bhav, or
yeah,
even higher than that.
Yeah.
Or then nishta means you're stable in performance of your duties.
Yes.
That's, and some interpreted acharyas like this or like that, but I think, you know, Srila Prabhupada actually, in most of his purpose, he means nishtha as you stable in performance of your duties. Doesn't mean you developed all the qualities.
But he does talk about that, because he says the devotee, the pure devotee, has all the qualities. So, so from that you can see is the beginning of advanced devotional service. So you could say is the person on, so you can take it that there's two platforms of that nishtha.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be nishtha within conditioning, and there's going to be nishtha within liberating.
Yeah.
You know. So you're at that marginal stage between where you give up basically being distracted by material desire and just engage in devotional service. But then when you've given up all material engagement and just engage in the spiritual. So that's what we're saying. It's the same thing all along, because just like, okay, means even if you're taking it here, is that just we take the neophyte platform. Then you're going to preliminary is going to be Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha. Then you're going to do Bhajana Kriya. A more advanced stage is going to be Anartha Nikriti.
Yeah.
Right? Then if you're in the Madhyama platform, the Nishtha means you're fixed, but getting the taste, that's where you can really say is now that's a Madhyama.
Mm-hmm.
But then that'll move forward into attachment.
Right.
And then when you have bhava, then you're going to say the shravana dasa, varana dasa, like this, these are all there, but it's only when you get to samadhi, then you can say, then it takes up. So then the apan das, then you're situated nicely, and then that matures in the prema. So you're always going to have this preliminary, the main part, and the conclusion of that section. Because when it gets up to Anartha Nivriti finishes, neophytes concludes. Then you begin the Madhyama.
Right.
And then when it gets to Asati, it concludes, then it begins Bhava. And when that gets to Prema, then like that. So you're always going to have these three, because Krishna, Satchitananda, so everything's three. That's why he's called the Lord of Threes. Right? Because everything's in three. You always have that beginning. That's why I say he's the beginning, he's the middle, he's the end. Right? So it's always, you're going to have the knowledge about the activity of the results of it. But the point is in there, the higher principle is the attitude and the taste. So you can see on the lower level, I got the knowledge, I got the practices, I get the results. So I'm fixed in my devotional practices. But the full attitude and the qualities that then give the taste of rasa, that's another level.
That's the next nishtha, actually.
That's the next nishtha. That's why there's the next Anartha Nivriti, the next nishtha. You know?
Yeah.
That, so Anartha Nivriti basically means shraddha to asakti. Then you've gotten, with that, you cross that. That's what gets rid of it. Then you come into bhava, then you can say, yes, you've gotten rid of it, because now you're liberated. You're on Brahmaputta. So there is no material consideration. There may not be fully spiritual consideration, but there's no material. So that's why you can move forward very quickly there or not. That's why you see there's some that right from the beginning, Radha and Krishna are already performing their pastimes together when they're really small, 2-3 years old. You know, because the mothers will get together and hang out and this and that, and the kids will play around because they got courtyards and this and that, so they'll wander around. And there's always gopis, so someone's going to be watching them. And then Radha and Krishna, 3 years old, they wander off into the forest. And then, boom, they just take their Kaishor, forms and all that, and perform the pastimes and all that, and then, boom, go back, and then 3 years old, they go toddling back in. You know, so the whole point is that it's always there. So that means, is that only the Nitya Siddhas are there? Are there no those who have come up? Because otherwise, why have the pastimes if nobody can take advantage? Right? The Prakat Leela is so that those who aren't, who are Nitya Bhadas, can become Nitya Siddhas. You know, that's the whole point. But they're at the neutral stage now. They're at the Brahmaputta stage. They're at the stage from where they fell before, but now they'll move forward.
Mm. It's a different motion.
Yeah, so one's going down and one's going up. That's why the force of your devotional service now, it propels you on through. But it's by Krishna's grace. So you just go straight through, right? How you say, you know, without any obstacles. So it's a very, very, in other words, it's very nice, it's very inspiring if you see it in the right way, so especially if you're going to look at it from the deductive method, then it's all right here. Then there's more mature stages of it, but, you know, and then it goes down into the material world, so there's nothing that's not connected. But the inductive, then it makes it look very far away. That's why material logic is not viewed. So they'll say, no, but it says here, it's always a problem. So when you ever see as one acharya says one thing and the other acharya says seemingly something opposite, they're both correct. But you have to know the situation it's applied into. You know, it's just I'm using a frying pan or I'm using a wok. So, you know, is the frying pan the absolute correct and the wok is bogus, or is the wok the totally absolute correct thing and the frying pan is completely bogus? That's how we approach it. What are you doing? If I'm deep frying something, I'm going to use a wok. Right? But if I'm stir frying something, then I'm going to use the pan. If it's just something that's flat and like that, or I'm doing a bigger amount, then I'll use the wok because the wok has more surface. You know, and it's easier. It's all together. I can stir it easily and everything like that. You know, now if I'm going to deep fry the pizza base before I put the sauce and everything and put it into the oven, then I'm going to use a frying pan. Right? Unless I'm, you know, running a roadside cafe and that, and I'm cooking for hundreds of people, then I'm going to use a big wok and I'm going to fry them in there. You know, so it's just a matter of which one is the proper situation. So each one of the acharyas, whatever they say, is completely correct. It's like when they ask Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur for the Vyas Puja, which of the 64 preparations that they had made was the best? He said, each one's better than the other. So they're all perfect. So it's just a matter of application. They're both right. So when you can see both of them correct at once, that's a Chintabhedaveda Tattva. You can see it applies here and applies there. You know, it's just like you can see how he's applying himself in the grade school. You can see the same thing in when he's in secondary school. And then in secondary school in the tertiary, and then tertiary into his life. So you can see him, how he's dealing in grade school, you know, doing, and you can see how he's going to do in life. They're non-different, though they're different. Just the situation, the principle is the same. So the principle in being steady in your external activity and being steady in your internal activities is one thing, steadiness. It's just where it's being applied. So if one's advanced, one's internally there, and it manifests as the external, so you don't have to have a separate thing, it's spontaneous. But for us, we're not spontaneous, so we start with the external because that's how we identify. And then slowly we get purified, the internal manifests. So they're both the same thing. Without the external, you're not going to get to the internal. And those who have that internal, they're applying it in the external. Mother Jashoda has that rati of Krishna, but she has that form and she performs the activities. You know, it's not that she just sits there in meditation or something. So that's the thing, they're non-different. It's the masculine and feminine principle. That they're both there, they're opposites. But they're non-different. The masculine doesn't manifest without the feminine, but the feminine, it doesn't have any meaning without the masculine. So the two go together. Right? Can you say the guy's a man unless there's a woman? He's a boy until there's a woman. Right? He's just a kid. And then one day he comes home with a girl. He's a man. The masculine doesn't manifest until there's the feminine. I mean, it's feminine other than the mother, because the mother is in the masculine role. That's why you see, you know, younger boys and that, most of the time their movements and that, so many times feminine.
Right.
Yeah, because it's the same principle. So it's only when you introduce this that it becomes the mensch, you know. You know, girls also, they can be this and that, and, you know, the girl, it's just girls there, they're having a sleepover and that. Things they do may be very, you know, how you say, masculine in the way of just active and doing stupid stuff and crazy stuff like that. But as soon as you know, the, how you say, eligible boy walks in, they just go into family. You know, so the two go together. You know, that's the whole thing. So that's the principle. The two are inseparable, but they're distinct. But they're inseparable. So that's the point. Krishna is one, but at the same time, he and Radharani are different individuals. So, yeah, let me do it.
Oh.
Okay. Stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samadeta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai.
Chaitanya Govardhana ki.